If anything isn't interesting or not important, tell me. Because some things may be not that important.
Well, when now you're saying that, I want to backtrack just to one thing that, with your first pregnancy, was that planned at all?
No, not really. But I didn't care, you know.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And was it, when was the baby born?
In 1939. I only have one.
Okay, it's a boy or
girl? Boy. Man. Not a man, yeah.
His name?
Huh? What was his name?
Uh-huh.
Alan.
Alan.
Alan. Uh-huh.
Mm. So, he's your only child, and he was born just, how long was that after you, what year was that that he was
married? I was married in 1938. Huh? Yeah, I was married in 1938. Uh-huh. Yeah. And he was born in August 1939.
Mm-hmm. And so through those first few months, it was in the winter, it sounds like, that you were doing the moving around from place to place.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, so he got this job, this was selling produce?
Yeah, that was his last job, and when we moved into that room, I told you, mm-hmm. and he's working at that stand, the same stand that Joe was working at. And he always talked about he'd like to go back to California someday. And I say, well, you guys, of course, you know. But to me, it was just, of course, I believed him that he wanted to go back, because even in those days, you know, everybody knew about warm California. But I really didn't care if I ever did go, because you can't miss what you never had.
Yeah.
But so I said, someday. And I really never planned ongoing. But this Joe had some kind of an accident, and I think he was trying to avoid maybe more than a ticket. I thought it was very minor. It might have been more serious than that. So one day he came, because he used to talk. Yeah, he'd say, I'd like to go to California someday, because he had relatives here also. Anyway, it came all of a sudden. It came September 1940, or just before that. It sounds like it's right here, but it's next door. All of a sudden, I wouldn't say he twisted my ex-husband's arm, because he said, let's go to California. He'd like to leave Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided, and they bought a truck, an open-end truck, and my ex-husband didn't even know how to drive. He learned how to drive. And in September, it seemed to be right around Labor Day, we left, because we had baby beds. We didn't actually have furnishings. So two couples, we left. The only thing that I was worried about, how to tell my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the previous April or March, my mother she couldn't stand seeing me live in a room. Sometimes just a room kind of gets people unhappy. And in a way, she can see it could have been better, but she almost talked me out of leaving. Yeah, I loved him, but I was getting a little, you know, I was getting smart, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I was ready to leave, and when it came to be around Passover, around April, I decided not to, because I'd say, around the holidays, I decided I wasn't ready to leave, and I realized that if I was leaving, I was doing it more because my mother was pushing me, which she was. So I don't regret, but the thing is, I knew my mother would have, how can I tell my mother where I'm going and with whom. So what I did was, I don't know if I ever did the right thing or not, I left and I wrote a letter. I mailed it the day I left. So by the time she got it, I probably was pretty far away.
Mm-hmm. Were you very close with your mother?
Was I closer?
Were you very close? Did you have a close relationship?
Well, I suppose. Well, I don't know if I would say close then. As years went by, it became close. The way I look at it, when I became an adult, a real adult, as well, two adults were talking. Before I left Boston, even though I was married and I was an adult, I guess, I wasn't an adult with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
It was always, I guess, subconsciously trying to get your mother's approval, my mother's approval, and things like that. When I'd go back, we talked as woman to woman. My mother told me things about herself, about she should have left my father years ago. She was always thinking about what will the people say, what will the neighbors say, what will the relatives say, and and knowing all the time that everyone has their own lives and you know, things like that. My mother talked to me as an adult also. Mm-hmm. And then we became close, mm-hmm. as close as two people can be living so far away.
Did your husband have a job lined up out here?
No.
Did you know where you were moving to? Or?
No. We came out here with very little money, but I guess I meant the guys figured out we'd have enough. And I guess when you're young, I think that's, you have an advantage when you're young, get more daring, and it's good. Mm-hmm. Because if you're very cautious, you never do anything. Mm-hmm. But I guess they figured it out. Maybe they figured they could work if they had to. Mm-hmm. When we came to Flagstaff, Arizona, because we would stop off in the parks. We did a little cooking, not much, you know. And we came to Flagstaff, Arizona. We were so broke that we sold the kids' crib because we went to a restaurant and the kids had whatever they should have had, and we had soup, you know. The kids were more important. We didn't mind. We got to California. We didn't have one penny, and we picked grapefruit. You're not even supposed to do it now, but I don't know where it was, but probably not even in L.A., but outside. We stopped, and Al said, sure you can. We picked grapefruit, and the first time I ever ate a grapefruit like an orange, and boy, it was good. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't have any money, but we went to a place called Highland Park, Lincoln Heights. You know Lincoln Heights is in Los Angeles? And the reason why he stopped there is because he graduated high school in Highland Park, which is so he knew the area pretty well. We happened to, there was a place called Five Points, and we're actually Five Points, and there was a big house, and there was a sign, rooms for rent. So the two guys knocked on the door, and I guess we were very, very lucky, mm-hmm. because the woman was a very kind-hearted woman. She was a railroad widow, mm-hmm. and two young men with two babies and two young women. And what they wanted to do was rent a room, but they didn't have any money to put to pay in advance. That was a drawback. But she said she didn't usually do that, but how could she turn us down? So we had two rooms side by side and the bathroom. There were other rooms, I think, but we shared the bathroom in between with others, I guess. And we had a little burner in there. And the other fellow right away got a job. And my ex-husband, I guess he contacted his mother. I didn't hear from her. And he was giving me a lot of baloney about, yeah, he's going to get this and that. And meanwhile, a week or two went by, and then he pretty soon had a job. He said he was collecting junk and selling junk, and well, of course I believed him. And like I said, I didn't handle any money. And but the second week, meanwhile, this Joe and his wife Helen and the baby, they moved out to City Terrace. They probably don't live there now, but City Terrace used to have a lot of Jewish people, and that's where he had relatives there. And so just Al and I were there, and the baby. So but meanwhile, he introduced me to some cousins of his, Jewish cousin, but she married a Gentile, so she was sort of ostracized from the family. You know, that's the way it was then, maybe now too. But anyway, this Friday, I think I was visiting Evelyn and Jack, and there were two men waiting for me, and they were waiting to actually speak to see my husband, and I said, he'll be home soon, and he came home soon, and they arrested him. And I think back, I was a little scared, you know, and I couldn't call his mother because I didn't feel like I could call his mother. And so they told me they just said, well, we'll be in touch with you, and so I called this Evelyn and Jack, and the only ones I really knew. And so I stayed there a couple of days, it seemed like, until the end of the week or something, and I didn't have any money to pay rent. And I did contact the jail, and I might have even gone down there, I guess, in those days. And he said he contacted his mother. She was getting a lawyer. But she didn't contact me at all, so Evelyn and Jack, they said, you come stay with us until they didn't have much at all. But I stayed with them. I had no money. I stayed with him, and
did you know why he was arrested?
Well, he was caught, yes, he was stealing junk. He and this boy, who was this young boy, I met this boy, he was actually about 16, he looked about 20, And he was just discharged from reform school out in that area. And he seemed like a nice, good-looking young boy. And they were going to people's garages and stealing what they could and then selling it. Well, they were caught. Mm-hmm. They were caught going to somebody's garage and walking out with some stuff. Mm-hmm. So they arrested. He eventually got out after a few weeks. But meanwhile, in those couple of weeks, I went to see him, and but I stayed with Jack and Evelyn. But they didn't have anything either, so I thought that maybe I'll get a job. And so Boys Markets, they were kind of new then, and they had it in Pasadena, South Pasadena. I got a job working outside in the produce. I guess it was all outside. All I had to do was just sort of straighten it out, which was easy. And if you came over, I was supposed to help you buy something. I couldn't even do that well. I was fired in 3 days. And anyway, I was a little desperate. I was scared, and really, this couple had nothing themselves. She worked part-time. Sometimes I do babysitting for her. I mean, I was there anyway. I slept in the couch. She didn't have a room. And so she mentioned welfare. I said, I guess I have no choice. So I went to the welfare office with her, and what they were going to do, because I wasn't here very long, just a matter of weeks, they couldn't give me any welfare, which was good. Thank God for that. But the only thing they could do was to send me home, pay for my fare to Massachusetts, but on the premise that somebody would have to pay California back, and the only one that it would be my mother. And I said, oh, no, I can't have you let my mother know that. So they said they couldn't help me. So what they did, they gave me money orders for 2 weeks, and I actually, each money order was $12. That was a lot of money in those days. So I had 2 weeks of money orders I gave to that couple. And I just stayed there a little while later because, like I said, they were so wonderful. And they said, well, no use even looking for a job. You know, you don't drive, where to go. You don't see damn experience, you know. So I stayed there and did, when she worked, I did babysitting. And then pretty soon my ex-husband got out of jail. And we got a place, an apartment. It was one big, big room with one big, big kitchen. We shared the bathroom. And then I went to work in aircraft. Then I went to work at Lockheed. Excuse me. I lived there, but I did sewing first. Mm-hmm. And then the war started, and I heard about people.
Did you do that at home?
No, I went to work in the factory. My ex-mother-in-law got me the job then, mm-hmm. working. So.
Remember about when that was?
Oh, yeah, I can almost tell you then. The war started in 41, December. So this must have been in it must have been in 1940. Mm-hmm. I mean, in that 19, could have been either not end of 1940 or the beginning of the beginning of 1941.
So it was before the war.
Before the war.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and now you were saying that you had come out in September of 1940. Yeah. So, say with all these other things that had happened, maybe the beginning, or like you're saying, the very end of 40, beginning of 41, that you'd reached a point where you decided you needed to work?
Well, after he got out of jail, we got that apartment, and I knew Dylan, I had to work. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say it could have been in the end of 1940 also, because like I say, I came here in September, and everything, he got out of jail after a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and then we got that apartment, and I don't say I worked right away, but it's very possible I did, because my ex-mother-in-law got me that job. She got me, told me who to contact when we had that apartment. Well, anyhow, it was either end of 1940 or the beginning of 1941, mm-hmm. that I know, and I worked there until even during the war. We went on strike because we got a government contract, and I was working on Army overcoats, and the strike was during when we worked on those Army overcoats. And but anyway, soon after, I was hearing about how easy it was to get into aircraft, and all you had to do was be a citizen. They were hiring a lot of women. So I applied.
Okay. What I want to do is, I'd like to get a few more details about the job selling, but
okay.
Why don't we save talking about the years of the aircraft?
Oh, sure.
Because that will be concentrating on the war.
Okay.
Interview anyway. But as far as the job selling, now you're son would have only been about, what, 3 or 4 years old?
Oh, younger than that. Younger than that.
Or three, yeah.
I would say two.
Yeah. Mm. Right, oh yeah, not yet two. You would have been two in the summer. Mm-hmm. So, what did you do as far as childcare?
Well, I was very, very fortunate. I look back, I've been so fortunate about a lot of things. Living in that apartment or that house, it was an old house made into apartments. And I can't remember who told me about it. Someone in that building told me about this woman, Mrs. Bell, mm-hmm. who does babysitting. You have to bring the child to that, to her home. I contacted her, and I was very fortunate. She was a marvelous woman. Mm-hmm. And as long as I needed a babysitter, she took care of my son. I was very, very fortunate. Mm-hmm. We would both pick him up at night. We'd take him in the morning to that Mrs. Bell. She didn't live that very far. There was a little ride. And we picked him up at night. And very rarely did we, we never kept him there at night. One time I got a call from her at work that he fell down and hurt himself. She took him to emergency. And it wasn't serious, but it was a cut. And so when she called, she says he's sleeping, and the doctor gave him some medication. She had to sign some paper, and they had to contact me, something like that. I can't remember now. But anyhow, so she said it'd be a good idea to keep him there overnight. When I got there at night, he was sleeping, so I left him there overnight. She was such a marvelous woman. I was very, very fortunate. Very fortunate that I had her. Mm-hmm.
And when you went to apply for this job with the sewing factory. Was this factory in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Yeah. And what kind of sewing were they doing before the war?
Well, they were making coat jackets, mm-hmm. and maybe coats, mm-hmm. and then linings. I was working on the linings of mm-hmm. coats and jackets.
Now, was it a large garment factory, or was it?
Well, I've seen larger. I would say a good size. They had one floor.
How many people were working, would you say?
Maybe 50, 75, something like that.
Was it mainly women?
No. I would say mainly women, but there were men, a lot of men. A lot of the men were operators. There were a lot of men operators. Mm-hmm. More men operators than they were the ones that made the coats and the jackets. They made more of the money, the higher paid. And I made the coat linings. It was a lesser paid mm-hmm. job.
But you were also considered an operator? An
operator.
Uh-huh. And did what was the pay like for that? Do you remember?
Well, you got paid according to what you made. The minimum that in those days was $16 a week, mm-hmm. and I made more than 16. I was always a fast operator, but they were a lot faster. I might have made between 20 and 30 a week, which wasn't bad. And there were, and what I found out, they really surprised me, that I was shocked, in fact, that under this table there were quite a few Mexican women there. Most of the Mexican women did the trimming, mm-hmm. Cutting the threads and the folding and the finishing parts. Mm-hmm. And someone told me about this, that I made a remark one time to someone how slow they were. And someone says, I said, I don't see how that could even make $16 a week. And someone says, well, they don't actually make $16 a week, but they have to get paid $16 a week in their check. But then they have to get back the difference to the bosses under the table, in other words. And I was shocked, you know, mm-hmm. about things like that.
Mm-hmm. So that would have been your first time being around Mexican women, or had you been?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I would say so.
Do you remember sort of being aware of that at the time?
Yeah, yes. Well, I wasn't used to hearing Spanish, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't bother me. I just felt the difference.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to know any of them, or did they?
Yeah, I think I got to know some, yeah. Mm-hmm. But not too well, I guess. Mm-hmm. A lot of them didn't speak very good English, but you couldn't understand a lot of them.
So you were paid by the piece?
Yeah, they still pay that way, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how much I got paid, mm-hmm. how much each lining was.
How did you find time with the, well, what hours did you work?
Probably 8 to 4, or 8, probably something like that. It was like 8 hours.
Was it tiring?
Oh, yeah, that's tiring. It's kind of boring. So is. Mm-hmm. Especially if you wouldn't say anything, repetition, it's boring.
Was it 5 days a week?
Five, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did you find time for doing things in the home and, say, shopping and things like that? How was that time?
Well, probably no problem at all. Well, we know when you're young, you can do a lot. You have more vitality. You have. I don't think he had a car then. Maybe he did. I don't remember. But I had weekends, and I don't remember whether we shopped at night or not. Probably not. I feel like we didn't. I didn't have any hobbies, let me put there. Mm-hmm. And actually, I had 2 rooms because I had to clean those rooms myself, but they weren't bad. Everything was furnished. I don't remember thinking that, feeling that I didn't have time for this or that.
Mm-hmm. Was your husband working during that period?
He was working.
Mm-hmm. You talked before about not managing the money at
never
all.
Never had money.
Did he make most of the decisions?
He probably did. He probably did, and I just like going to California. Yeah, let's go. Mm-hmm. Even though I worried like heck about my mother, I probably, if I was at that time, if I was the way I am now, I'd say, no, wait a minute, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, even when I thought, hey, I'm going to have a heck of a time telling my mother, and yet I said, yeah, sure. Maybe I wanted to run away, go away from bad things, unhappiness, you know, because I wouldn't say I was happy. Because I was seeing things, my eyes were being open all the time with my ex-husband, and I always felt that this isn't for me, but yet I didn't do anything, you know, I just...
When you worked at the garment factory, did you give him your checks?
I think that's a funny question. Maybe I did. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we just pulled them together.
Did you keep any money of your own when you were working
there? I probably had to. Mm-hmm. Probably for car fare and probably for groceries. I don't remember actually handing him the check. That, I don't know why I wouldn't remember that, because I hate to do that. Even to this day, for many years, you know, I never handed my husband used to hand me his check. Mm-hmm. But I probably did. Mm-hmm. I probably did.
He still managed the money even after you got the job at the
bank. Oh, yeah, he still paid the rent. But the only thing I will say about that, I made sure, though, that the rent was paid by making sure, like, I get after him. I said that one thing we've got to do is make sure we pay them $18 a month, mm-hmm. and which we, you know, we didn't do it in Boston. And this babysitter, Mrs. Bell, I don't know what she charged, but whatever. I says, we've got to. And so as far as I know, it was always paid and never heard anything otherwise. Mm-hmm.
Did things change much for you with having the incomes? Or having the job?
Oh, yeah, well, it's a little more secure. So I still hate to read. He made $18. Well, I don't know. He had a couple of jobs there. Not many because we weren't there that long. He had a couple of jobs. One job was, I remember, $18 a week, the same amount as a rent. Mm-hmm. And then he made a little bit more. He was fired, you know, he was keeping some of the money. Little by little, though, I was getting awfully disgusted, and I don't know whether I still didn't handle money. But I was getting more aware of him, what he wasn't doing, about me, that I wasn't born for this. I don't see why I should take this, and he didn't beat me up or anything like that. He lied like heck. I couldn't believe him anymore. And he was there all the time. You know, he wasn't running out or anything like that. I wanted somebody more stable. So when I started to work more in defense plan is when I became independent. It was leading up to that but when I started to work defense, I really almost changed completely.
Okay.
I took over, sort of.
Well, let's stop for today. And
yeah.
I'll